Let's call Paul, shall we?
Need the latest news and analysis on your green and gold? Well, we better call Paul.
Green and gold analyst Paul Immig is brought to you by Sprinkler Fitters Local 183, protecting life and property in Wisconsin since 1906. For career opportunities, go to sprinklerfitters183.org.
So, before we get too deep into this segment for both Radio Joe and Paul, 2 days and 25 years ago was what?
Sopranos debut.
Yes.
Yes.
I thought I would start off the segment in honor of you two guys that shows that are off the beaten path that turn out to be hits because, yes, 2 years and 25 days ago, James Gandolfini starred in his role on The Sopranos, and that was something that no network wanted to touch, and that thing took off like crazy.
You know, I have a confession.
Yes.
I've spent way too long in my life watching television. I have never seen The Sopranos.
Shut up!
I feel just terrible having admitted that out loud. It's one of those things, Bill, where, you know, I didn't have HBO when I was, you know, at that time period of my life, so I have to go back and watch it. So I've been going back and watching older HBO shows. Like, I still need to do The Wire, which I hate saying that. I haven't seen The Wire. Of all the things I've done, I'm trying to go back in time and get to all of these, but that one is still on my to-do list, and I'm very sorry. To Joe, who I know I saw on Twitter, just redid the series all over again, and to the many others, and I will do it. I apologize to my TV friends.
Yeah, The Sopranos is one of my favorite series of all time, Paul, and it's just so well done. The acting, the writing, everything. You're rooting for mobsters the entire time.
Isn't that something?
As evil as they are and as narcissistic as they are, you are rooting for them throughout the course of the show. It is just, and it's got a lot of comedy in there too, because these guys, for as evil as they are and as much money as they bring in, they're still relatively dumb. So I highly recommend that, and I also highly recommend The Wire. I'm planning on rewatching that too. That show is just addicting on so many different levels, and again, the writing and acting on that show is just amazing.
These are the two that I have on the top of my list to go back and binge here in the very near future.
We have all that now out of the way. I feel better. I feel better about our time together.
I love it. Way to start off the beaten path.
I thought I'd do it the right way. Hey, a couple of things. First and foremost, we know Ron Zook is out. However, hold the train.
Yeah.
Because we had made the announcement that on NFL Sirius Radio. Now, Joe, you had that update. But on NFL Sirius Radio, they were saying that the assistant special teams coach of the Cincinnati Bengals, Coombs, was going to be the new special teams coordinator in Green Bay. Since then, since we talked about that, after they made the announcement, they retracted it.
Yep.
And said, no, that is not the case in Green Bay. So we still don't know who's going to be the special teams coordinator.
Yeah, I saw Alex Marvez first went back and retracted, and then Rob Domofsky from ESPN.com added, saying that, you know, that was premature. So no, that is not happening. So I think the good news here is I hope people didn't spend too much time doing their Brandon Coombs research because it was all for naught. But the good news is for Falcons fans is whoever it ends up being, it's not Ron Zook, so you have a reason to celebrate.
Well, that's what I mean. I mean, ding dong, the witch is dead, I guess, is what a lot of people are saying in the day, so to speak. Yeah. So anyway, that being said, we talked about the hire. We've obviously discussed that, but now you got to put a staff together. The question we've been asking all day is, who has more pressure on them? Is it Matt LaFleur to get this team back into the postseason, or really is it now Brian Gutekunst, who has to put the player personnel out there and fill the holes that this team has?
Yeah, I saw your tweet question earlier. I mean, did you have some people, though, suggesting perhaps if they're allowed to have a write-in vote, that the write-in vote goes to Mark Murphy?
Well, you could probably go in that direction if you wanted to, because he's kind of the puppet master of all, right?
Well, and because now he finally has, quote-unquote, his guy. He got his GM. He has his, what is Russ Ball's title now, executive vice president? That's his guy, and now he has his guy from a head coach. So, you know, if he's going to be a football guy, and, you know, which he's always aspired to do, he doesn't want to, he never wanted to just be the snowball guy and the Tennessee district guy. He wanted to be the football guy, and now he has his staff. And I think if you watch the way that he dominated the press conference a couple days ago, I think if you just listen to even before he officially introduced Matt LaFleur, saying, hey, Matt, we've had a couple bad seasons in a row. Get us back on track. Everybody, Matt LaFleur, you know, like that's, it, I think that's partially not just because Murphy is sort of a, you know, talkative, outgoing guy, but also because I think he knows that at a certain point this is on him. If you want to narrow the question also then between LaFleur and Gutekunst, the Rodgers part of this is obviously on LaFleur. I mean, there's certainly help that Gutekunst can do to get Rodgers back on track. Like, I don't know, going and acquiring one of the best wide receivers in football if you want to deal with the headache in Antonio Brown. Like, you could do that. Like, you could go buy low on Antonio Brown if you're Ryan Gutekunst. I'm not saying they will. I'm not saying they should. But it's an option. And those guys, no matter how problematic they might be as locker room guys in some cases, they don't make many of them as good as Antonio Brown. So that's something you could do if you're Brian Gutekunst. But I think Matt LaFleur, you know, if the Packers don't make the playoffs this, you know, in 2019, it would be, you know, I think we have to wait to see what the offseason shapes out to be. If Gutekunst is aggressive in free agency, you know, if he does a lot of things in the draft that, you know, are mostly unanimously approved, so to speak, by Packers fans and across the league by, you know, so-called experts, you know, he will have done his job. And I think most people recognize that Brian Gutekunst inherited a lot of holes in the roster. He was probably more missed than hit in free agency in his first year. And now you have LaFleur on board to kind of get the offense going. So I do think right now, as it stands today, Matt LaFleur sort of has, I don't think he'll be excused. Matt LaFleur will be, like, I don't think people will say, oh, don't worry about it, it's only your first year if the Packers don't make the playoffs. I think the expectation on LaFleur is they have to make the playoffs. But we are now in the point of the year where Brian Gutekunst, once again, has many holes to fix on this team, more than obviously what he can, you know, I don't want to say it's an insurmountable amount of holes to fix, but it's a lot. How aggressive is he going to be? How conservative is he going to be? How much of a window do we kind of glean from what he might think this team has in terms of a window to win? I think we'll find out some of those answers based on how aggressive he is. So I think right now today, if it's not Mark Murphy, it's Brian Gutekunst. And I think LaFleur sort of has a, you know, a one-year reprieve, 1 year to kind of get his feet wet. And again, I'm not saying that means people will be like, oh, no problem going 6-10. No, not that. But I think right now, as it stands today, I think Gutekunst has a lot of pressure on him to try to fix a little bit of the mess that he was left with a year ago when he took over as GM.
So the holes that need to be filled, we've discussed almost ad nauseum. We know that there's a lot here. How much do you think there should be an influx of, does it need to be one or two big name free agents or trades? Or do you think it has to be a smattering of veterans and then a fortification through the draft?
Well, I would put it to you this way. I think the eye-opening thing a lot of times is the Eagles secondary, which, you know, for anybody who, you know, obviously saw the game last weekend, when they won in the playoffs, you know, there was so much talk about how banged up their secondary is. And what I kind of found fascinating, and I don't have, you know, an intimate knowledge of the Eagles roster going into that game, but the guys who are the 34th string guys, I remember at least in a couple instances, it was fifth-year veteran. Like, I think if the Packers, when the Packers get in those situations, it's undrafted rookie X, undrafted rookie Y. So I think you have to kind of hit a couple home runs this offseason. You clearly need, you know, if not a superstar edge rusher, a really good edge rusher, someone to come in right away and contribute. You do have holes to patch on the offensive line and some questions to answer there. You're still, I don't think, you're not done remaking the secondary. Obviously, safety is a big concern. They might need another corner at a high level because depending on the, you know, what they project Josh Jackson to be, is he more of a slot guy? Is he maybe even a safety? What is he? So I think they have questions to fill there. But, you know, I think when you kind of look at sort of the 25th to 45th guy on the roster, that's where the Packers, I think, you know, because a lot of people do, and I heard your postgame show host, Gary Ellerson, talk about how the Packers are really depleted in terms of overall talent. I think where that's true, at least in my opinion, isn't so much at the top of the roster. I think if you take the best eight players from the Packers, they would match up with the eight best players on any team. I think the problem is once you kind of get to numbers 25, 35, 45 in terms of best players on a team, that's where I believe they rely too much on unproven players, young players, guys that they've held on to probably for too long. And I think that's where you need the superstar talent on the top, and then you just have to make sure that when injuries happen, because they always do, that you're not always counting on undrafted rookies to step in and play a major role.
Paul, always good stuff. Enjoy your weekend. A great divisional weekend on tap, and then we'll talk again on Monday.
And, the Fox channel is best, so we can, actually watch all the games this weekend for those of us with cable. And I'm really looking forward to it, Dan. I mean, I thought this NFL regular season, obviously the Packers are sort of a bummer to watch and everything else, but the playoffs so far, I'm more into the playoffs this year than I have been alone. I think the matchups this weekend are really intriguing.
I'm fired up for the weekend. Can't wait. Good stuff, buddy. We'll talk to you soon.
See you, Bill.
See you, pal. There you go. Paul Emig, our Green and Gold analyst, joining us on the Schneider Orange Hotline. Schneider hiring drivers right now. You work hard. They treat you fair. 80-plus years they've been getting it done. Call them 844-PRIDE or go to schneiderjobs.com. 844-PRIDE or go to schneiderjobs.com.